The Holy Quran has clearly mentioned a bargain between Allah and His servants. And the Nizam-e-Wasiyat or any such system which has been initiated or founded at the behest of Allah, direct injunctions from Allah, falls under that category. And that verse is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ. Exactly the Nizam-e-Wasiyat is mentioned. Allah has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth. For what price? Because Allah would give in return to them Jannah. So Bahisht is Jannah. Bahishti Maqbara means the Maqbara of those, the graveyard of those who have been promised Jannah. There is no certificate of Jannah issued by Bahishti Maqbara office or by anyone. That is totally wrong. Don't consider that whoever has been issued a certificate, he receives a certificate of Jannah. Only his case is referred to this verse. We hope that Allah would keep His promise if this man has kept His promise. And the certificate is only to that effect. We don't know whether this man who joined Nizam-e-Wasiyat has actually kept his part of the promise or not. But hoping so, apparently, to best of our knowledge, he has done so. So we have every right to say that if he kept his part of the promise, Allah would positively keep his part and he would become a Jannati. That is what means, what Bahishti Maqbara means. The system again is based on the traditions and instructions of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and agrees to those limitations. You cannot will more than one third of your property. And this is exactly the injunction of Hazrat Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot will, in fact, according to Islamic jurisprudence, you have a right to interfere in your own properties to some extent, not beyond. According to the system of will of the Holy Quran, you cannot interfere in that system in as much as those people who are mentioned therein, they have a fixed portion of inheritance. No man, despite the fact that he owns that property, has a right to interfere and change that ratio and portion. To that extent, you have no right over your property. But again, you have a right to give one third of your total property to somebody else, depriving your lawful inheritors of that right of inheritance. When you will that one third of my property will go to somebody else, that is not only permissible in the Holy Quran, some rules and regulations have been laid out about that. That whenever death approaches you, you should will. About what? About that property in which you have the right of interference. So I am explaining this because it also solves another question of Nasikh Mansukh applicable to these two verses. Some older Muslim scholars erroneously inferred that because a set portion or a set proportion has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, so the earlier verse which enjoined upon every Muslim at the time of approaching death they should make a will, that has been cancelled. And the previous verse is mansukh, that is cancelled out, and the later verse is the cancelled letter. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam categorically rejected this concept of nasikh mansukh. So all those verses which were supposed to be either nasikh or mansukh, they have been solved by Jamaat Ahmadiyya with the grace of Allah, by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. And these are two verses, for instance, which could not even be solved by later scholars who did not believe in 500 verses to have been cancelled. Some earlier had gone up to that. But the later scholars reduced the number, and ultimately, Hazrat Shah Wali Ullah Muhaddis Dehlvi reduced this number to just 5. Still, such scholars could not solve this apparent contradiction between the two verses regarding the will. According to Jamaat Ahmadiyya, Hazur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the property in the way of Allah to a certain extent, and beyond that he did not accept. He said no more. At times when some people wanted to give everything in the way of Allah, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that no. So, when someone did it, Hazrat told him that no, your children have a right upon you. You have a right upon you. Give them their due rights. And only a portion thereof can be given to Allah. Apparently, these are contradictory to such traditions in which Hazrat Umar is known to have offered half of what he had. Hazrat Abu Bakr is known to have offered the whole, whatever he had. But these verses, these traditions are misunderstood. It is mentioned that what they had in their house, of that they parted with half, of that they parted in full. Not that the house and their gardens or the whole property was handed over. So that is a sort of ready money or cash in olden days. Whatever you had of the property, which household property and things, it only applies to that. And the words are very clear about it. The words of the tradition. That whatever was possessed of Hazrat Abu Bakr, he had in his house. He offered everything. So it should not be misunderstood. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consistent about it. And he taught very clearly that your own family, your children have a specific right, and they should not be deprived of that right. And that right has been mentioned in the verse where definite proportions are laid out. A ratio has been fixed. This much would be inherited by that. And the earlier verse gives you the right to dispense with your money as much as you please. Not as much, but as you like it. The way you please it. So, according to this verse, and according to the interpretations drawn from the traditions of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, under Allah's guidance, fixed it to be 1/3, not more. So beyond 1/3 of wasiyat is not accepted by Jamaat Ahmadiyya. If somebody wills that the entire property after my death should go to Jamaat Ahmadiyya, he will be rejected. That offer will be rejected. Unless he is a kalala, he leaves no inheritor. In that case, anyway, that would come to the Jamaat. So, that is an exceptional situation. So, the Nizam-e-Wasiyat has not only been mentioned in the Holy Quran, but its maximum and the minimum is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, in a way. Maximum is mentioned, the minimum is not mentioned. That is 1/10. So that I said, when I said that, it was not right. The minimum can be inferred. So far, I have not been able to find out where maximum has been mentioned and from which verse or tradition of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Rasim Mawdud Alaihi Wasallam has inferred that 1/10. But whether we are able to pinpoint that area, it does not make any difference whether we do it or not, because he, in this case, he was directly guided by Allah. So when he was Imam Mahdi, he was directly guided by Allah. So Allah knew better the spirit of Islam. So in that sense, without reference to the earlier authorities, we can say that generally speaking, 1/10 is supposed to be a good red sacrifice, not the maximum gain, a very good example of sacrifice. 1/3 is the maximum beyond which you are not permitted. In between there are stages which can be met by different people according to their own capacity. But in Roza, I have found a similarity of 1/10 sacrifice. You know, out of 12 months, you keep 1 month as fasting, that is 1/12. But it was the practice of Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to add 6 more fasts to the month. So that would be exactly 1/10 of the year. Add 6 fasts to 1 month of fasting, 36. So out of 360 days, according to the lunar system, they are not 365 but 360 days. So add 6 days to the month and they become exactly 1/10. So from that I infer that something is there in 1/10 which is applicable to our sacrifices.